Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy, your post MLS Cup final show. Not the final show of the year, because there's still a lot to talk about. This contract season begins immediately as Brianna McKay, our fine crew beat writer, is going to inform us on the latest. I'm Mike A. Race. Thanks for joining us. In the studio is the aforementioned Brianna. Kyle Robertson. What's your name again?
The striker
is here on my right flank. And of course, our center back at the controls is Patrick DePotfather Flaherty. Thanks for joining us. Today is Wednesday, the 13th of December, 2023. And in case you missed it, the Columbus Crew defeated Los Angeles Football Club 2-1 on Saturday in the new Crew Stadium and won their third MLS Cup championship in four attempts. Of course, the miss was in 2015, Portland 2-1 here. In the old stadium, Jer Marufo, a lot of cheating going on, 2-1 loss. 2008 in Carson, California, the 3-0 victory over the
New York Red Bulls.
And 2020, the COVID asterisk season, a 3-0 emphatic victory over the mighty Seattle Sounders. Was 2008 3-1 or was it 3-0? Did PWP get one in that? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I think it was
3-0, right?
Yeah. You can Google it, folks. Yeah. The Crew had three, and that was more. And Guillermo Barros Scalotto was the MVP of that 2008 title game. The wonderful Lucas De La Ryan was the MVP of the 2020 MLS Cup championship here at the old Crew Stadium, Lamar's old director set. And Cucho Hernandez, MVP of year 20.
Was he your vote?
2023. I didn't get a vote. Oh. The league and I, we don't get along.
Who would have been your vote? Would it have been Cucho?
And I might have voted for Nagby, to tell you the truth. I mean, you look at his stats after the game, and you think about we can talk about this now. You gave us entree.
Yeah.
You think about that Aiden Morris, Darlington Nagby midfield going up against, Acosta, Ilya Sanchez, and Timothy Tillman left to right there. And the Crew
crushed him.
It was extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, the first half was a dust up.
Yeah.
Two goals, one off a kick by Cucho in the 33rd minute. The second goal,
beautiful.
One of the more incredible scoring plays you're going to see in MLS Cup final history.
And the thing that most people aren't talking about, it was during a torrential downpour. I know people couldn't see that on the game cast, but trust me, I was getting obliterated with
rain. I was talking to Yao about that. I caught him after the game. I literally had to catch him running around the locker room, and he was saying that the rain, he liked the rain. He felt it went to their advantage and made the ball move faster, and he liked it moving faster because he's a fast guy. Yeah. So he preferred the rain and thought it played in their advantage.
You know, Kyle, they got behind him. I mean, on that play, that was the Yaya Boa goal that Brianna McKay was referring to. That was an 11-plus buildup and then a 40-yard through ball straight down the gut to Yaya Boa on a diagonal off the left wing, right on his foot.
Yeah.
He drew out
into the rain too.
Drew out Crapo and tucked it by him with the outside of his left foot inside the right post.
Beautiful.
That was I think Taylor Twellman, among others, tweeted, "Find me another goal that's better than this in Cup final history." Words to that effect. And Tim Bezbachenko did say to me after the game, he said that is one of, he might even said the, he said one of the greatest goals or greatest passes in the history of the MLS playoffs.
And it's crazy to me because they've talked about after the game, they had that kind of, they practiced that kind of pass and they had that kind of pass. I think Schulte said today, Wednesday, Malte made that, the Wednesday before the game, Malte made that pass to Yao before. And what did he say? It was in practice, it got called a penalty or something.
They didn't call a penalty. They didn't call for PK, but
he was saying they practiced that, so they knew it was something that he could do.
Well, and I'll also say that Matan helped in that play too, even though he didn't get the pass at the end
with his
for
run.
Him, for his run coming back, was it Hollins?
Hollins.
Yeah, who's a really good defender, froze him for that split second, which allowed them to get. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. So it's 2-0 at the half. I think it's somewhere in the between the 74th minute, 75th or something like that, when Bwanga takes his own rebound off of Patrick Schulte's face and pokes it in. Schulte stays down for a while. Looked like he needed last rites, and Lazarus like rises up from the turf and exhorts the crowd, and they begin chanting his name. And you know, the crew handled their business down the stretch there. One corner for the game for LAFC, and we knew that they had to stay away from conceding dead ball falls. Yeah. And I don't know how many free kicks for LAFC, three or four.
Yeah.
Always nervy moments, but well handled. A dominant first half, a very workmanlike second half of bringing that game home. And like any other crew game, crew had two. It could have been four.
Yeah.
A lot of shots off target.
To me, the one thing is you were never. I felt, and probably crew fans, you weren't worried. To me, during the compared to when you were watching the Cincinnati game, I just felt like that they were the better team from the very beginning, and you really just weren't worried at all. Their counter wasn't working very well. They did a great job at preventing, the odd man rushes, and I think crew fans, was a lot better than the Cincinnati game where you just were on, it was just a back and forth. I think the crew just dominated from the start, and they were the better team. And
that's what happened when you take the lead.
Yeah.
Well, I think XG was 2 to 0.8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a average to below average XG for the crew. And for a team that has its defense knocked all the time, a 0.8 against a team of that quality. It was an extraordinary performance. It was the sine qua non of Wilfried Nancy's style, and it was apotheosis of a season meant to go forward, attack the goal, score goals with all humility and with joy. Yeah. And it was the crescendo of exactly what they tried to do all season. Well done, Columbus Crew. And yesterday, Brianna, the parade happened.
Yeah, they had the parade. Yeah, they were celebrating. You definitely saw a different side of some of these guys who. For me, you don't see a lot of personality from during the season. You saw Darlington really get into it, the celebration. That was nice to see, too. Everyone, even Nancy, he had his moment where he was leading the fans in
that song from a celebration.
Football celebration, soccer celebration, It was cool to see him step out a bit too and just have a little fun. He said he was told he had to speak, so he had a little fun with it.
Kyle, who took the video of that?
Adam did.
Spectacular.
Yeah,
it was spectacular.
Does anybody know why that song? Have we figured that out?
It's a popular
traditional, EPL. It's big in Europe.
I was actually talking to
My kids were familiar with it.
I was told today that. They started playing that song after the Atlanta game.
Okay.
They haven't really been playing a song in the locker room before that, and they started playing it after the third Atlanta game where they advanced. And since then in the playoffs, it's been kind of their go-to song, and they've made sure they walked up to it when they got on stage after the parade and everything. And it was the first song you kind of heard in the locker room when they were celebrating. Yeah, it was something just brought to the team in the postseason. Very cool.
Well, the questions we had going in was, can the crew break down the LA defense? Can they hold their shape after turning the ball over, going backwards? Can they thwart LAFC's vaunted counterattack?
Yeah.
Boy, they have some players. Yeah.
There was maybe one or two times during the whole entire game, there just was nothing.
Well, Kyle, what I saw, the last question was, can they defend set pieces? And their discipline. And the way they played their own system precluded a lot of set pieces, as we just said. And as far as the counters, you could see they had the ball up in their attacking third for a lot of the game. I'd have to go look up the percentages, but especially in the first half, but certainly throughout the second half as well. You can see LA kind of press high, turn the ball over. The crew immediately trap. I mean, that to me was it. It was in their attacking third. As soon as the ball turned over, they were not going to let that first pass get to the midfield. That's what I saw anyway.
Well, I mean, Aiden probably had 15. He was just everywhere. I mean, just stopping the ball, kicking.
Another MVP.
Yeah. I mean, it truly is like every time the Crew lost the ball in the offensive zone and then they got it back. I mean, that was, you know, around midfield. It was just amazing that, you know, the game plan that they had, and they had the ability to kind of press up and kind of intercept the balls. So they'd counter the counter that LA was trying to do.
It's cool to see how effective Darlington and Aiden were together, yeah. Especially thinking back to 2020, the fact that Aiden had to start for Darlington and he wasn't able to be involved in it. So flash forward the fact that they were both so influential in this game. It was kind of cool to see. And they, in the press conference, you could see Darlington said he didn't cry on the field until he saw Aiden after the game.
It's touching.
Yeah,
it's very touching. Possession was 61.5% to 38.5% in favor of the Crew. Shots were 14-11 in favor of the Crew. Shots on goal were 5-5. Total passes, 532 to 330, favor of the Crew. Passing accuracy, 82.3% to 76.4%. Nagby was 52 of 53 on pass connections.
Unbelievable.
Corners were 9-1, Crew. XG 2.0 to 0.8. One for the ages. Enjoy it. They now have a target on their back, and teams know how to attack them. So next year is a different year, and that process, Brianna, has already begun with some announcements that came yesterday regarding contracts.
Yeah, they don't even get to celebrate in contract
news. No, they're celebrating. Yeah. It's the way it goes.
It's, yeah.
It's business.
They announced that they were re-signing Camacho. Who else? We had Romero and Bush. It was before the parade. Right. And then when roster decisions came out, it came out that basically everyone who played in the playoffs for the Crew was coming back. Either their options were picked up or they signed new contracts beside everyone but Julian Gressel.
Well, yeah, well, the ones
don't like that move.
Well, we can talk about that, but the one that they said they re up with Molino and explained that
you need an older guy to
come. Yeah, no, they're also going to need a lot of depth next year because they might play 50 games or more. But that one raised one of my eyebrows, and then you go like, okay, good dude, good guy off the bench. They're going to need a deep rotation. They're willing to pay for it. Fits in their cap and within their cap philosophy, etc. But the Gressel thing, how is that explained? And Brianna, you spoke with both the coach and the general manager today.
It was kind of explained that what I've gotten from it is just the role that he would have on this team is probably not the role that he wants. Mm. That's kind of the vibe that I'm getting, especially with the evolution of Mo Farsi. He's been someone they really look to and trust and everything.
Is he a cap casualty because of the number? Because if you look at it, I mean, I know the speed and I know that, you know, he has a lower number, but I mean, to me, everything, I mean, he's not, yes, he, how do I want to say it? He's not an offensive force by any, you know, I think he only had like 3 or 4 assists this year, but I mean, he doesn't really shoot.
Okay.
But he fits it.
Here's a 29-year-old star, and we've spoken about this on the program, and I've written about this. Okay, this is a two-way thing. This is free, the era of free agency.
Well, you don't get there until you're late in your
career. He's 29 years old. He's still on the backside of his prime, at least. He's still among the best servers in the league. We saw that the way he changed the game around in Cincinnati, coming off the bench.
One of the reasons.
Now, the Crew are very definitive, the front office and the coaching staff, Nancy and Bez in particular, if you want to name names, about what profile they want in the player. They're thrilled that they went out and got him. The way the cap things work, it doesn't hurt him next year or anything like that.
And did they get Gam or something for Lucas or something?
Well,
or, you know,
figured. I mean, he invented the stupid system anyway, so he knows how to run it. This is a two way thing here. What I inferred from today was that, you know, they probably want him back and just said, hey, you're not a starter.
Right.
You know,
which you'd be on other teams.
And, you know, you're also a free agent. And he said, yeah, I'm a free agent. I can find somewhere closer to Boston, East Coast, with the family concerns. And he's got one contract, one big contract left in him. And this is it. So I think it was mutual. I also think the Crew were very clear in what they thought, how he fit into the system going forward. there's no animosity. There's just Gressel was a total pro. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the crew were very professional about how they handled him.
Yeah.
Glad they got him. He's glad he came. Glad he had the experience, won a cup. Now he's a free agent.
Yeah. His post on Instagram, He had a big post thanking the fans and the organization. And when you saw him celebrating yesterday, it didn't look like someone who was had any animosity towards the team or anything. He was celebrating.
Yeah. And on Saturday too. Yeah. I saw the video with his,
at one point he was leading it. He was having a lot of fun.
Daughter.
Yeah.
Well,
but do you think they'll use that other money elsewhere? I think he's not quite the DP, so he'd be under 1.6, but more than the 900 or so, 950 that he's at now. So he's probably in that looking for that over the million, but yet under 1.6 to be a DP slot.
Right.
Right.
We after they signed Nagby, we spoke in the Podfather studio about this as well. You did all your homework, shockingly.
Really? I know.
At the threshold where they sign Nagby, allows them up to three U-22 initiative slots, one of which is filled by Alexandru Matan.
Does Diaz fall off too? Because remember, he was a high priced.
He's gone.
Well, I know, but wasn't he under one of the?
They could reclassify Matan, but they probably won't. Yeah. But the point is, they have two. They now have two U-22 initiative international slots open. I think both of them are international slots.
And didn't Garber come out and say there's not going to be a fourth?
That wasn't a surprise too, because there's some more gravel that needs to be laid before that road gets paved. But they're already on it. I mean, there've been reports. Going back, there were reports.
Some guy from Mexico.
Yarny Stukers in Belgium. I don't know how much there is to those. They've kind of petered out, but there is a lot to. The gentleman from Pachuca.
Yeah, Pachuca, yeah.
His name's Hinestroza. Marino Hinestroza.
Yeah, I did look him up.
He's a midfielder. Yeah. I think he's a winger. He's 21, and there you go. That's a U-22 initiative signing. It'd be a la Matan a couple of years ago. The Mexican report had a $3.2 million transfer fee on it. I don't think it's that high. But from Pachuca, they say it's done in Mexico. I don't think it's quite done yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's announced within the next, by the weekend or even within the next week. I think it's that close. We're talking about the loss of Gressel. I think this guy's described as an attacking player one-on-one. I think he might play on the outside, but, I'm not sure of that.
Yeah.
Podfather, do you know much about his? He's looking it up on FB Ref right now. Yeah. He's shaking his head. He's going to get a sandwich. So already that work's going on.
And then they also got guys that, Zawoski, put in his time. And then you also got, Sands, who got hurt at the very beginning there, who they really loved. And, I think his was 9 months. Possibly a year.
Yeah.
Right. Achilles, right?
He was out training with the team.
Achilles?
I think it was an
Achilles. Mixed in practices before playoff games. Obviously, he was always out for all the games, but he was in the mix practicing. He looked better, if you ask me.
Well, and then you also got to look at, the second team to see who fits. This year you have some guys that got brought up that you probably didn't expect, and
they're going to build from from within,
right? And Wilford's more up to using the younger guys than past regimes have. And,
that's their plan now, and they're very clear about it. Some of the questions that came up today, and we can cover them here. It can only speculate at this point, but. Someone's probably going to come after Aiden Morris. Someone may come after Cucho Hernandez.
Is Ramirez? Did they already say if Ramirez is coming?
Yeah, he's back.
He's under contract. Cool.
Ramirez is
with the 50-some games they'll be playing. You'll need both.
Mm-hmm.
Ramirez has another year left with an option for 2025.
Gotcha. It's a good deal then.
You didn't do your homework today, Kyle, because you're asking me questions.
I know,
and she's the beat writer.
Well,
I mean, for God's sake. This is a terrible show. Don't tune in anymore.
We've already established.
Ramirez is also looking to be certified as coach. He's right after he went down to Tampa to take some classes to be certified as a coach and everything. So that's just something interesting.
Yeah. Well, They also have, they're going to build from within. They're even talking about Taha already, and so forth. Academy guys, that might get a look. They're already deciding who they might want to have come up into camp in January. They're going to do Santa Barbara and Florida, what I heard, but that's a story for another day. One thing we can talk about now is next year, Kyle and Brianna. And this was a subject, Brianna, that came up today on more than one occasion. If you look at LAFC with the U.S. Open Cup, the League's Cup added this year, the Champions League Cup, as it was formerly known, it's hard to keep track of it. It's kind of like stadium names. but they have that now, and then you have the Campione's Cup. Now, L.A. lost in the final of Campione. Right. That's a one-off, though. I don't really count that. I never counted that. That's a made-for-TV event, you know.
Were they 0-4? They didn't win any trophies, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They made it to the final. They went six games through to the final of the Champions and lost to Lyon in the final.
But, I mean, Bez and the crew have experience in this in 2001 after 2020. So, I mean,
Bez has a lot of experience in Toronto, too, because they made it to the final of the Champions League back then. But what I'm saying is they're going to need depth. They're going to need heavy rotation. All the fans know it. L.A. went through all that after winning the title this year and winning the title last year. And Saturday was their 53rd game of the season. And if you throw in some friendlies and some exhibition games in the preseason, as Wilfried Nancy said, it up to around 60 games. So they're talking about guys on reserve from crew two, maybe even reaching down into the academy at times. They want to roll like 30 players in and out of the roster next year, Brianna. Isn't that what they said? 30 plus.
Yeah, that's what he said. And that's why he said they kept a lot of the guys from this year because they like having consistency, especially when you're going to need a lot of guys and you're going to have to reach in to that pool of crew two guys and everything. But they have a good track record of when they come up, you see they're doing pretty good.
Well, that's Nancy's MO. Is he polishes young players and brings them on. I mean, look at this team. Patrick Schulte is the classic example. But, you know, Sean Zawadzki, where does he play?
Yeah. Anywhere.
I mean, he's a midfielder. He's a really good midfielder. And
scored some huge goals this year.
Going back to last year, it's always like, oh, when someone from Europe comes for Aiden Morris, it's going to be Sean Zawadzki slotting right into that position. And what happens this year? Well, he plays some midfield. Right. He plays some outside wing back.
Center back.
And he also establishes himself as one of the best center backs in the league. Yeah. So, like...
I mean, I personally think Mo looked good on Saturday. Yeah. I thought he had a good game, and it shows what they think about him with their willingness.
They're bringing in more competition for him, though, you know, with Gresselgaard.
Yeah.
I bet. Yeah. I think we're going to see another attacking player, another center back and another right wing, at least it's coming in from the outside. That'd be what my take on it would be. So, I mean, what a season. Brianna, now you parachuted into Columbus on the 24th of November, 23rd.
Somewhere.
It was a day later.
I don't.
Day
I don't
later, you're on a plane to Orlando and then to Cincinnati and then back to your new home in Columbus for MLS Cup final. And now you're working on contract season and
silly season.
How's it going?
It's been fun. It's nonstop. I like it. I've been thrown right into it. It's been a lot to get used to, but I'm loving it. I like doing this.
There you go. And now we should step back, Kyle. And note that, you know, Tim Bezpachenko now has three titles with two teams. He'll start another championship build. He's been through this process before. The great Darlington Nabby has four titles with three teams.
He's just the winner.
Oh, and I do want to bring it back to me. Twitter has noticed that the crew is undefeated. With me as a beat writer. So
wait till April, May.
I think they want you guys to keep me around.
All right, good.
We'll think about it. For
show's definitely better with you than just him and I.
Well, I'll tell you, Amundsen has two cups in 3 years. He was on that New York City FC team.
Aiden's got two.
Aiden's got a couple. Yeah, it's that. And now you think about the Crew franchise itself with three title appearances since 2015, two titles in 4 years, really, actually, if you want to count it up, but we can say three. But
impressive.
It's great. And it's like,
and a new stadium and everything. It's just getting better and better.
It's like when I got home, one of my older kids said to me, you know, Dad, anytime Columbus can beat LA at anything, Los Angeles, it's a good day.
And they got to do it in front of their fans. They didn't get to do it in front of the fans. It was only 1,500 in 2020.
There was more than that.
No, yeah. There was
5,000, 6,000 in there.
According to the record.
I think they opened the gates.
They had to do that because of the state ordinances that were put forth during COVID. Yeah, that's 1,500.
I think she makes a great point. I mean, the fans weren't there and everything that they had to go through, and just to have, you know, an MLS Cup
and they didn't get
in their stadium and everything. And, you know, it was rocking, absolutely just rocking Saturday night. And, I had some friends who aren't true soccer fans that got tickets and wanted to go. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of spreading, you know. Again, I have a really good friend who's trying to get tickets. I'm like, you don't even like soccer. He's like, yeah, but I want to go. I want to be there. And so, you know, I'm glad that he got to go. And I think it's just great for the market, you know, especially with the way the Jackets are, and, you know, they're making up ground.
Well, as my colleague Todd Jones has mentioned, if you're 54 years old, you've seen the Crew win three MLS Cup titles.
Right.
You've seen the Blue Jackets win a singular playoff series.
Hey, we were there.
And you've seen Ohio State win two national titles.
How many Columbus Quest championships?
Two or three, however many years that league lasted. But that wasn't exactly,
I think, the Destroyers won an indoor championship. Clippers have won some.
I'm talking about trash sports. And I'm not denigrating women's basketball. There were two women's basketball leagues then. And, you know, the great Katie Smith was and I'm not denigrating that. But
so you're saying we're the city of champions?
No, Rob Aller wrote it today. We're the city of champion. Singular.
Yeah. Singular.
Who was the last city to win a pro championship in America?
Yeah. Columbus?
Are we counting the in-season tournament? Because then it went back to LA.
Yeah, it went back to LA. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
LeBron, the Ohioan.
But extraordinary week here in Columbus. Do you guys have anything left to add?
Check out dispatcher.com for all of our awesome stuff. Yeah, there's so many photos from the parade and from the game. And I think we have
that Wilfried Nancy video is the best.
Hopefully Patrick can play that song on the way out.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Patrick Flaherty. DJ Podfather. DJ Pod. Here we go. Columbus Crew, you're 2023 MLS Cup champions. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mike Arace for Brianna McKay, Kyle Robertson, and the illustrious Patrick the Podfather Flaherty. Patrick, kick us out of here.